Who knows? Who knows what the cold open will be? Will it be us just rambling about a magical girl fighting game, or will it be me just putting out YouTube drama about some guy who has a lot
just,
of views?
Just start shit. It's called punching up.
It's called punching up. This man's cover of Linkin Park Numb is fine, but it is not a metal cover, for it is a metal song. Get your taxonomy correct, jackass. I love
this
you,
is one of my complaints.
Or whatever. It all started because he did a RuneScape Goes Metal song, and then I just...
Oh yeah, this is technically related.
It's technically related.
That's how this happened. Damn.
I think it even has Sea Shanty number 2 in it.
It sure does.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I mostly just hated a lot of the things about the presentation in this. Hey, welcome to the show where I break down a music video for the cover the artist who does a game that I don't play. The part where it's just like in RuneScape, but it's clearly too good to be RuneScape. Is that RS3?
The visuals?
Yeah.
That's just Blender.
Bespoke.
That's just Blender.
Okay.
The OSRS community adopted Blender quite some time ago and has made a lot of wild shit.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. It like very clearly looks like it all, I think the opening shot here is in Lumbridge, right? I think it's like the Lumbridge Castle. He like cracks his neck or whatever.
Open that video up again. But that would be a logical place to be.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
It kind of looks like the HD plugin for OSRS.
Yeah, well. It like looks like there's more.
It's definitely Blender.
There's more polygons. Like it is more rounded, which is why I wonder if it was RS3, because I just haven't seen what that game looks like. But it's fine. $750 $7.50 for this song. Oh, it's part of RuneFest. Can you tell me what RuneFest is?
RuneFest is a annual convention. It's not the right word. It's Jagex's keynote.
Okay.
Sometimes there's varying degrees of community involvement. There's an awards show, typically called the Golden Gnome.
What do you win awards for?
Usually community members, various content creation sort of things that get voted on.
Being pals and also just being nice people.
Let's see here. I can pull up the... Let's just pull up a Golden Gnome thing so I'm not talking out my rear. Because as we have recently noticed, I have not played this game for 9 months.
9 months.
2025 Golden Gnomes. Let's see if I even know any of these people. I might not. Best new OSRS video creator.
That could be
Alien
us.
Food is the only one in there I recognize. Best old school RuneScape video creator. So not new.
That could be
okay,
us.
We know all of those people. Best video. Best new streamer. Artist. And artistic creation. Yeah.
All right.
It's a neat little...
community award.
Music,
is nice.
Music composition, series, streamed event, guide maker / educational content maker, and an honorable mentions section as well.
All right, this is my last one. I'm going to close this tab, and we're not going to talk about it ever again, and we can get to the actual topic of the show.
Sure. We'll see about that.
This guy is selling tabs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back
to the guitar. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to the guitar. yep. So the $7.50 I was referring to is not an MP3. Mm-hmm. It is the tabs to play the RuneScape medley,
which kind
of makes sense. Like, sure.
Yeah.
Like sell the medley. Like, let me learn how to play your RuneScape medley because I want to know how to do, you know,
It's a way to learn how to play those songs secondhand,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. That's great. Like, good on him. You did the work. Mm-hmm. Whatever. That's cool.
But
how would you like to pay $8.50 for the... I'm going to read the description here. The official guitar tab for Cole Rollins' guitar cover of Through the Fire and the Flames. The official guitar tab for his mm-hmm. cover of mm-hmm. a song that exists.
I don't know how divergent his version is, I suppose.
But it's a cover, so it can't be like that divergent, right?
You're assuming that the words in the title have anything to do with the reality of the video, and I think that is not an assumption to be made.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to pull up Ultimate Guitar and do line by lines.
Exactly.
$8.50 to start YouTube drama with this guy.
I expect a full report by next episode.
Do you think Ultimate Guitar definitely has tabs for that song, right?
Yeah.
Does Ultimate Guitar still exist?
Ultimate Guitar still exists, yeah. So I was gonna say, I would assume it does.
Oh yeah. Top 100 songs. Radiohead Creep. My Mom Coming Home, number 2. Goo Goo Dolls, Iris, version 4. Ed Sheeran, Perfect, number 4. Riptide by Vance Joy. This is all making sense. Hotel California, number 6. Can't Help Falling in Love, number 7. First song I don't know. Gigi Perez, Sailor Song?
Yeah, not a clue.
Oasis?
I'm not the wrong individual.
Oasis, number 10. Wonderwall, number 11. Crazy Train. 2 Coldplay songs. Jeff Buckley, John Denver, The Animals, Sabbath. A lot of... we need to come back to this when Ozzy Osbourne is back alive, so then we can kind of see this one fresh. I feel like there's a little bit of a recency bias here.
Gotta hit the Internet Archive page. See how that changes over time.
Yeah. Wait, I just did... Oh... was I sorting wrong before? I clicked the button and it changed again. Top 100 tabs by hits all is what I was on before. And then I clicked top 100 tabs by hits all. The list is completely different. It is cool. Well, I can close that one. Cool. Ultimate Guitar still exists. That's a public service for you. You can go get the Through the Fire and the Flames tab for, let me just check here real quick, Through the Fire and Flames. The tab for Through the Fire and Flames rating high quality type official is for the low, low price of fucking membership. Jesus Christ. You get the chords for free. What's the internet
become? Yeah, that sounds about right.
What does the internet become? Blah. Anyway, hey, welcome. Welcome to the 70% Complete Podcast. It's a show where the tangent is the topic as I look at this recording at 24 minutes, and that was after I had started after the tangent had begun. Hi, my name is Phil.
Less than 70% complete today.
It's definitely less than 70% complete. Hello, my name is Phil, and your name is Logan. How are you doing, Logan?
I'm upright.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a Monday. Upright.
It sure is a Monday. My work laptop had to go to Windows 11 last week.
Oh yeah, how did that go?
Which was a real bummer. It worked eventually.
It functions now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Snipping tool. That's not doing it anymore. That did not survive the transition intact, which is a real bummer because I use that quite often. Copying pasting is no longer reliable with snipping tool.
Woof.
Can't go from snipping tool into an email. Must go from snipping tool into Word, and then from Word into an email. And that works.
That's great.
What a fantastic experience. Yeah. I got word back today that yes, that is in fact the way it is currently working. And seems like that may be continuing for at least the short term.
Cool. That's so, hey, you love to
put
see
that
it.
In the tiny annoyance bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, geez. The tiny annoyance bucket for me currently is that I have reached 6 months at my current job, which means that it is time to change my SSO password. And it's the fun time of, one, the network not accepting the password. That's always good. And then the good oldness of visiting a website and remembering that the SSO has changed and needing to do that all over again, which is just fun. You never remember all the websites that you logged into, and that's been great for me. Love that.
What's your preferred day of the week to have to do at in the office password changes?
Oh, like a Tuesday, probably. Like,
yeah,
clear thinking enough to not pick a bullshit password, but still plenty of time that if it all goes wrong, I can go talk to IT about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's Tuesday because that gives me Wednesday and Thursday to try to self-serve the problem because I refuse to talk to IT. And then Friday as a last-ditch effort of, oh, fuck, I need to go home. And next week I'm working from home. I need this to work. I guess I will go talk to IT. So, Tuesday.
Yeah, that checks out. I continuously kick that can down the road. And there's like, I don't know, maybe three main passwords that I have active at work. And they don't quite line up on their change dates. And sometimes I try to get them to do so and fail and inevitably forget about one of them. And then I have to change it on a Friday, which is my own personal hell.
Oh yeah, that's awful.
Coming, switching like a new 13 character passphrase and be like, well, yeah, we'll see what happens Monday when I have to type that in for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to, God, it sucks. I hate that. Cause then you're going to forget, like it's going to take you like three password entries to be like, oh, right, I changed this thing on Friday as the last thing I did for the day.
Mm-hmm.
How could I possibly forget? Oh, I'm locked out. Well, fuck.
Yep. Come back from spring break and you can't remember how to get in your locker.
Yeah. Yes. I still have a gym lock that I guess think that I will remember someday, but as the years tick on, it's just another albatross, you know?
Probably just shim it open, honestly.
Yeah, I'll bring it with when I come back in August and you can just crack that sucker open for me.
I might be able to.
The lock picking Logan.
Yeah. Anyway, what the hell are we doing? RuneScape.
RuneScape.
It's been a while.
We have not talked about RuneScape in, I guess, also about 9 months, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think the last time Falador might have been the last RuneScape thing that we did. Is that true?
I would absolutely believe that.
We like ended with the Halloween episode. Yeah, because you quit playing in November, which is enough time for you to do the gauntlet and then do the gauntlet nightfall and then bail out. And then we haven't talked about it since. Definitely not in a past episode recently has the topic of RuneScape come up.
No, never.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I sent you something. I don't remember what. And then I ended up on the homepage just looking at patch notes because I have, you know, 9 months of catching up to out do. Of game lore to figure out, plus all the mechanical changes. This is why, like, once you step away, there becomes a hurdle to return.
Sure. I can see that.
Yeah, you either have to consume all of that information and file it away all at once, or you have to just come to terms with not knowing things. And depending on what's changed, it can be pretty drastic.
I guess, to really pull back the veil here, we are looking at a patch notes document. I thought that this would be fun to discuss. Like you posited the idea of, hey, should we look at patch notes and like see what comes out of this? And dear listener, you probably assume, wait a minute, these guys are just going to talk about patch notes. How could that possibly be fun? And then
if they made it this far, then.
Yes. And I just want you to know that there are things in here. This section is called Slayer Changes. And then there is a subsection called Blocklist Changes. And it says, ever since Cresselia arrived, players have been begging for a wilderness-specific block list. And there are at least four things in there. I don't know what it means. So this is like
that's
a little
one
bit.
Sentence.
Yeah, this is just like a little bit of old fashioned codex and a little bit of just peeling the brain box open and see what's jiggling around in there in your head, Logan. But
yeah. This is the mix of my mechanical bullshit and my lore bullshit.
Yes.
And I don't always know how to structure that, so we're just going to kind of look at this until you see words you don't recognize, and I'm going to tell you about them.
Yeah. Let's start. Who is Cresselia? And Cresselia, why do people want a wilderness-specific block list?
Yeah, Cresselia is the Slayer Master locked in the Edgeville prison at the edge of the wilderness.
Hey, can I stop you right there?
Yeah, sure.
What's a Slayer Master?
Cresselia is one of them, you know. No. So have we talked about Slayer at all?
I don't
Slayer
think
is a
so.
Skill.
Is
Let's
that
start
the
there.
Monster hunting one?
Yes. So this Slayer is broadly the community's darling skill. Personally one of my least favorites.
Okay.
I think. It's kind of like WoW quest the skill. It's literally you go talk to an NPC and they say, "Hey, it'd be really neat if you went and killed 86 swamp lizards." And then you go do that. You kill those swamp lizards and you come back and they say, "Now I think you should maybe go kill some blue dragons, like 60 of them."
Huh.
And then you go do that. And then you just do that for fucking ever. Just for fucking ever.
And that's different than questing?
Yes. Very different. Yes, okay. Quests are all not all. Most quests are narrative driven.
Interesting.
Okay. Involve puzzles and travel and dialogue with NPCs and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, so Slayer is basically there are different NPCs around the world who just give you specific like basically proc gen quest to go kill X amount of Y type of beastie and then come back
Correct.
To me and gain reward.
Yes. There are nine now. There are nine active Slayer Masters at a time. We'll say that. There's some story stuff that can swap out some NPCs for others. So we will say there are nine Slayer Masters. They're kind of broken up by difficulty, and they all have their own pool of monsters that they draw from.
Okay. And is this kind of like other skills where you basically, like as you level up Slayer, you go from Tauriel and Aya to Mazshna and Octrin?
Sure.
And then from there you're like, oh, I'm level 30 in Slayer now, so I'm gonna move to Vanaka, and then after that, Chaeldar, Konar, Neve, slash wait, Neve and Steve.
Wow, spoilers.
Wait, are Neve and Steve the same person?
We you can't click on that yet.
Okay.
Those are major plot elements you're just slamming your face into.
They're not spoiler tagging Durdal and Curadal.
See, I don't even know what that one is. Oh. We'll have to figure it. I'll have to click on that one later.
We'll figure that out together.
Durdal was your standard like high level Slayer Master. That was your end game Slayer Master. Sometimes Neve, sometimes Konar. Those are your three.
Okay.
You kind of blow past the first five of them that are listed there.
Okay.
This fucking game, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Slayer. You go kill the thing, and the amount of Slayer XP you get is proportional to the HP of the creature you have done murdered.
Oh. Okay.
So if you kill a level 4 rat, you're going to get very little Slayer XP.
Sure.
To like a level 200 dragon.
Yep.
For that kill. So that is one axis there. And we're going to, this is actually going to tie in great to some of our other conversations, because this is just like a dumb optimization problem, like everything else in this game.
Yep.
So each Slayer Master has their own task list that they can draw from.
it'll be, I don't know, 2-3 dozen monsters on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a range of the quantity that they'll assign.
Okay.
So Vanica, for instance, can assign abyssal demons, and he'll normally give you between 40 and 90. And then each one of those also has a task waiting. So it's not an equally weighted list.
Okay.
Some things will show up more often than others.
I see. Okay.
So you can think of the weight either as that thing's just proportionally more likely, or if we made this table, you could just repeat that row 8 times and then still grab one row randomly. Mm-hmm. You want to think about it that way instead. There's also, when you finish a task, you get Slayer points, which are a currency that you can use to get various rewards related to Slayer. And okay. One of those rewards is extending some of the tasks. So if we look at our abyssal demons again, before we'd get 40 to 90 from Vanica, but if we have that extended, then he will give you 200, 250 instead.
And is that number reward per, or is that how many you need to slay?
That's how many you need to slay.
And the idea there...
Go ahead.
So the idea there is there's this big table of...
Mm-hmm.
You go to Vanica, and there's a big table of 30 different things that Vanica will want you to kill, and 15 of them are rats, but Abyssal Demon is the top tier XP earner, so you want to get the reward that extends that Slayer quest out so you can max the amount of XP that you get?
We'll say mostly yes.
Okay.
In this specific instance, well, yeah, we'll just say yes.
Okay.
There's a couple different reasons you would want to kill a Slayer monster.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, if you have purchased this reward, they'll just be straight up bosses that you will get assigned.
Okay.
And the nice thing about killing a boss on a Slayer task is you get to use your Slayer helmet. Have we talked about the
No, we have not talked about the Slayer helmet at all.
And its imbued counterpart.
Oh, do you only get to use the Slayer hat when you are killing the boss?
So you can wear it at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are fighting a monster who you have an active Slayer task for,
yep.
You get an attack and a strength boost of 16.67%.
I believe. Okay.
Which is substantial.
Okay.
For the way the combat in this game works. That means you're both more likely to hit and you are going to hit harder.
I see. Okay.
So it ends up being like quite a bit faster.
Okay.
And if you're fighting a boss monster that has an incredibly high defense level, getting a 16% boost to your accuracy is going to noticeably drop your kill time.
Okay. And are you getting Slayer tasks for taking on, like, big bosses? Like, can I get a Slayer task to take down Jad?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
In fact, that is how I got that one first.
I see.
My first Jad kill. Cheesed it by wearing that hat.
Nice. Okay. Okay, okay. So then, I guess to take this back to the patch notes here, there are big changes that there are either big changes or the changes that this exists now, but there are block lists that are specific to zones. And what does that mean? Like, why would I want to do that?
So when we're looking at Slayer Masters, there was that whole list. And there are two on that list that have like an asterisk next to their name, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be Konar and Cresselia.
Yeah.
So, accepting those two, all of the other Slayer Masters just spit out a creature from their list and a quantity, and you get to decide how you want to go about completing that. If it's blue dragons, you can go kill baby blue dragons in the Taverly dungeon because they're weaker, or you could go kill Vorkath because Vorkath's technically a blue dragon.
Okay.
So you get to kind of play pixies and choosies how you complete that task yourself.
Okay.
If you go to Konar, Konar will say, hey, I want you to kill blue dragons in the Taverly dungeon. So Konar rolls to pick a monster, and then there's a second roll on an additional table specific to that each monster of all of their locations. Mm-hmm. Konar will give you a specific location where you have to go kill that.
Okay.
That might not sound significant, but sometimes it is. There are some places that are very annoying to get to that you will sometimes be assigned. There are some places where maybe you need to wear a special kind of boot while you're in that dungeon, so you don't get to wear the boots you would normally use for combat. You have to use stone boots to not get set on fire by the magical fire in Mount Karloom.
Okay.
There's a big part of Slayer, which we're going to get to in a minute here, is trying to get through tasks quickly, and one way to do that is to use the dwarf cannon. Have we talked about the dwarf cannon?
I feel like I've heard the phrase dwarf cannon, but I could not tell you what it means.
Okay. So the dwarf cannon is relatively what you would think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to...
Does it shoot dwarves?
It shoots cannonballs, actually. Surprisingly enough.
Oh, okay.
Dwarf multi-cannon.
Tell me more.
Real steampunk looking thing. Let me send you a picture of it here. Oh. So it sits on this tripod base, and it's got a little stand and a kind of a gear-looking mechanism, and that's just a big fuck-off cannon that sits on top of that.
Yeah, and it kicks ass.
It pivots in a circle.
Okay.
So it spins. So a decent chunk of Slayer, and in some ways the economy, kind of revolves around this spinning cannon. The thing costs 750,000 coins from an NPC when you first get it.
Okay.
It's... what, 5 pieces, I want to say?
Yes.
That sound right?
Yeah. 4 pieces.
4 pieces.
4 pieces and a cannonball.
Yeah. Yeah. Takes up 5 inventory slots. That's why I had that in my head. you set up the cannon, it spins in a circle, and it auto-targets, and it dumps out cannonballs.
Okay.
And they fucking hit. And they hit regardless of your level, and they give you ranged XP as though you were like shooting a bow.
Okay.
So you can set this thing up and hide in the corner, and it's going to spin in a circle, and it's going to shit out cannonballs that have a max hit of 30. And
okay.
You might be like level 25, and your max hit with your bow is like 4.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So at low levels, it slaps. At high levels, it still slaps. If you are in a location that is multi-combat, where multiple NPCs can be targeted at the same time, then this thing dramatically speeds up your kills per hour and your XP per hour. Because it is firing out a cannonball, like, pretty regularly. And if they're placed in the right spot, it'll actually shoot 2 at once. There's a whole grid system, and there's, like, yeah, you put tile markers down so you remember where to set up your cannon, because you want your cannon to be set up in relation to the monster spawn, so when they spawn, they're in one of those double shot spots and they get hit by 2 cannonballs right away, because everything in this game is an optimization problem.
Yes, I am seeing a color-coded grid right now about where you should be standing for different sized foes.
Yes, because you need to be in a place relative, because the NPC is going to aggro to you, and you want to drag them towards your cannon, and ideally over one of the tiles that they'll get hit twice from.
Can my cannon be targeted or destroyed?
I believe no, unless something's changed.
Can you dismantle the cannon?
Yeah, once you put it down, it goes down, and you set up all 4 pieces, and then you pick all 4 pieces back up.
Oh, so one cannon is all you need then.
One cannon is all you need. If you are not in the wilderness, if you're just out in the world, even if you leave your cannon someplace and teleport away and it despawns, you can go back and talk to the NPC you got it from, and it'll be there for you to retrieve.
Ah, can you only have one cannon?
No. You can have you can only set up one at a time, I guess, which I'm assuming is the actual question.
Yeah, that is the actual question.
Yeah. But no, you can own a lot of them, which I have done.
Okay.
It is the cannon also gets sold in a set, so you can combine all four items into one item to sell it on the exchange, because not always. Sometimes you just need one piece. Usually people are buying the full cannon.
Yeah.
So one of my old money-making methods was buying the pieces individually and combining them into the box and then reselling them as one item.
I'm seeing that currently that would net you a 30,000 gold profit.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Huh. Also, it looks sick with the ornament kit on. Look at that thing.
Uh-huh.
That's like a Da Vinci-ass looking cannon.
So this thing dumps out a cannonball every game tick, I want to say. Okay. So 0.6 seconds. Cannonballs right now are 182 gold each.
Yeah. What's that in sharks?
I mean, that's 18K a minute you're spending in cannonballs.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a chunk of change.
Yeah. So now we're starting to get into some of the optimization problem of Slayer. So a lot of Slayer you end up doing with this cannon because it increases your DPS so greatly.
Okay.
But 18K a minute is not free by any stretch.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like a mid-game player, that's not a thing you can do 100% of the time, because you will run out of money.
Yeah. And also, I guess you're burning through, you have to burn through that total kill amount, right? Like, in order to get another roll of the die, I have to kill 40 to 90 brine rats, which don't yield me nearly as much XP because they're low health compared to the abyssal demons or something.
Right. So when we're looking at XP per hour, which is going to be kind of our next talk here, we want to look at how much do you get for killing the monster, and the second half of that is how quickly can you actually kill the thing.
Yeah.
So like metal dragons give you a lot of Slayer XP, but their defense is really, really, really high. Like a steel dragon is hard to kill.
Yeah.
And doesn't have great drops. So even though it gives a lot of Slayer XP per kill, it ends up being XP per hour. It ends up being a really poor task.
Okay. Which means that you would just not want, like, you would prefer to do one of the other ones. Like, you just don't want to do that.
Right. Right. And so now we get to kind of look at those lists from our Slayer Master and kind of group them into, like, are these things we want to be doing, or are they things we not want to be doing? If all you're worried about is XP, that's one path you can just straight focus on, is just getting high XP per hour tasks.
Yeah.
But there's also tasks that are low XP per hour, but maybe the drops are really good.
So yeah, or whatever an Inferno task is.
That would be to go complete the Inferno, which would be the sequel to Jad. That would be when you go fight Zuck to get the Inferno cape.
Ah, okay. Is that the pizza cape?
That is the upgraded version of the pizza cape.
Nice. Okay.
Pizza cape came out when, like, you and I were in middle school. And this one.
Cool.
Yeah.
cool.
It's had exactly one upgrade since then.
Nice.
Yeah. So now we can start to sort of piece this puzzle together a little bit. And we can introduce the block list.
Yes.
So the block list is something you can spend Slayer points on. Let me see how many slots. I want to say there's 5 and then 6 if you... Oh, maybe it's just tied to quest points.
Seeing 7 block tasks on the screenshot they have here.
Has this changed?
The meta's changed already? This came out the 18th of July.
Almost, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, here's task summary. This is kind of what I wanted. Okay. There's a maximum of 7 types of assignments that can be blocked per one account. One for every 50 quest points the player has, up to 300 for the first 6, and the 7th requires completion of the Elite Lumbridge and Draenor Diary, which you need a quest cape for. So,
okay. So you have
every
50
quest points and then the quest cape. Yeah, so I have all of them unlocked. That's why I couldn't remember exactly what the path there was.
Okay.
So your block list is by monster. And it's originally, it was just like do you get blue dragons or do you not get blue dragons? It's just a toggle on or off. So it being global, that meant with Konar, who sometimes sends you to random ass places. So a task that might normally be good could end up being like tragically annoyingly bad through Konar if they send you someplace shitty.
Is there a way to cancel a task, or do you just have to complete it?
You can spend points to cancel a task as well.
Okay.
And that will typically cost more than the amount of points you're getting back.
Classic.
By completing a task. So it's not going to be a one for one.
Yeah.
And that's a strategy, is getting a bunch of points banked up to either cancel tasks to just focus on like high GP per hour, high XP per hour, or just boss tasks. Or there are some monsters that you can only kill on task. So maybe you're just trying to grind those out. You need, you know, a shitload of points to cancel tasks to do that consistently.
Okay.
There's also the other way to cancel a task is to go to the lowest tier Slayer Master, Turiel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a free cancel where you can stop doing whatever you're doing and get a new assignment from Turiel. And that's kind of the like, that's the button you can push if you've gotten yourself stuck.
I see. Okay.
If you are a lower level play, like this happened to me on this account. I was pretty low level and got, I think, Mithril Dragons. And it's like, man, at the level I was at, that was gonna, like, killing like 20 Mithril Dragons or something was gonna take me like 7 hours. Like, it was gonna be horrible.
Yikes.
So at that point, you can either cancel it by spending the Slayer points or going to Turiel, getting a new task from Turiel, which will be like, go kill 15 spiders or something. Utterly pointless.
Okay. But you don't lose Slayer points for doing that.
You don't lose Slayer points, but it does reset your streak. So there is another thing that is being kept track of, is how many of these tasks have you successfully completed in a row? And every 10, 50, and 100 tasks completed, you get an allotment of bonus points. Oh,
okay. That's what this is. Yeah, 10, 50, 100, 250, and 1,000.
Ah, that sounds right. Okay.
Tasks completed.
Yep. You get bonus points. And the bonus points change depending on the amount of Slayer points you get for any task is dependent on the Slayer Master who assigned it. And so are the bonus points. So ideally, you want to go to whoever's going to give you the most points for that, you know, 50th task or the 250th task to get an even bigger bonus than normal.
Oh, okay. So these, the every task is Slayer task completed, not task completed from this Slayer Master.
Correct.
Okay.
Except for Cresselia, which is why we're talking about this at all. So we kind of touched Konar assigning you tasks per location throughout the world.
Yep.
Cresselia is kind of like that, except all of her tasks are exclusively within the wilderness.
Oh, that seems bad.
PvP is enabled. Yeah, it's different. I've spent a bunch of time doing it. It can be a lot of fun. There are reasons to do that now. Cresselia gives you a lot of points when you complete tasks. They've also added a lot to the game out in the wilderness to increase either the XP per hour or the GP per hour that you are earning as a player out there doing Slayer.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, in exchange for maybe being hunted and murdered.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you are the reason we're looking at any of this, I guess now, is we can kind of start to put these pieces together where originally, your block list was universal. If you had blue dragons on your block list, nobody would give you blue dragons.
Yep.
And now there is one that's per Slayer Master. Is that what we read?
Seems like it.
So you'll be able to set up a block list for just Cresselia, because there are a number of monsters that are like on Cresselia's task list that aren't on anyone else's list because that monster's only in the wilderness. So before, if you wanted to flip back and forth between doing Wilderness Slayer and Standard Slayer, you'd have to burn a bunch of Slayer points to reset up your block list, or just live with the inefficiency of having a bad block list for one of those two things.
I see.
And that meant, like, if you wanted, typically what that meant is you're going to be doing normal Slayer tasks, but once in a while you want to send one to the wilderness to see what happens.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be easier to just do that without a bunch of logistical nonsense.
Okay. So you can set your own based on who is doing. I see.
Right. And the weightings are different from one Slayer Master to another as well. So that would be a reason, like, when you're setting up your block list, you're looking for things you don't want to do. And ideally, you're looking for things that are very likely to come up as a task that you don't want to do. If something's a super low weight, you're probably better off not blocking it and taking up one of those slots. You're better off just canceling it the one out of 50 times it pops up.
Yeah. Okay, and so slot is, like, just block this creature.
Block this creature. This
Slayer Master.
Now it is. Yeah, now it's per master. Where before it was just block this creature. Where, depending on the weighting, that may or may not be useful depending on the Slayer Master you were talking to.
Wow.
So it's gonna give you more levers to pull on this optimization problem.
Yeah, this is wild. And they just expose the percentages too. That's
sure
wild.
Do. Welcome to all why I'm so mad every time we play a non-RuneScape game and I'm reading patch notes.
That's nuts.
This is why I get so frustrated with FromSoft's bullshit.
Here's
the other end of the other end of the spectrum is we're gonna give you all of the math.
Yeah, that's nuts. Okay, I see. Okay. This makes sense then. So you want to, like, you can have different lists to optimize different things that you want to do.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Oh no, because it's per creature, so you still have to play the probability game. You just have seven less things taking up maximum of seven less things. Okay,
those just get deleted from the table essentially.
And that's 700 Slayer points to fill up all the seven blocks. Is 700 a lot?
Depends on when. So Slayer is one of the slowest skills to train. Period.
Okay.
So you end up with a lot of points eventually. Early game, there are a lot of things you want to spend points on, and there are many different paths you can take to do that.
Okay.
Because you unlock equipment, you unlock buffs, you unlock different monsters. So it's like getting the Slayer helmet's a pretty big deal, as we kind of talked about, that boosted attack and damage both. Attack and strength both is a big deal. So maybe you want to rush and save all of your points and get that first. So it 800's a lot of points up until you hit probably like the 70s level wise, I would guess.
Okay.
Which is a lot for Slayer.
That's a lot. Like, yeah.
Like
even
if
normal
you can,
skills, that's a lot.
Yeah, and Slayer, like, if you can average, like, 60k XP per hour, that's pretty good. Although, again, I haven't played in 8 months, so maybe that number's gone up a little bit with these changes. A fast skill like Fletching, you can hit 300k an hour pretty easily. You can hit higher than that if you're willing to just bleed money into the Aether. So 60k is not a lot. Like, that's in the realm of like fishing and woodcutting.
Okay.
And runecraft. Like these are your traditionally slow skills.
Okay. Oh yeah. I'm starting to see some progression point costs here as we tick down as they change them.
And it looks like they've changed how dragons work.
Yes. Can you explain this a little bit?
So, yeah, here's some more of the optimization nonsense. Is some tasks require you to complete certain things before they're part of the list, even. So if you never complete the Dragon Slayer quest, dragons do not show up on task lists for you.
Oh, and that's a capital Q quest, like for the quest cake?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Dragon Slayer is the culminating quest of free to play. It is also required to wear a rune plate body. Like,
okay.
It's beating the free to play portion of the game is doing Dragon Slayer. It's one of the things people tend to set as a goal of like, yeah, I'm not going to buy membership until I do this.
That makes sense.
I'm going to play as a free to play player until this point. So it's a thing almost everyone has done, but if you want to be a pervert about it, you cannot do that. And that removes a whole bunch of monsters that are low XP per hour from everybody's list.
Interesting.
And now you can do Slayer a lot faster than, well, maybe not a lot. You can do Slayer noticeably faster than if you had done that quest. But then you have to deal with the ramifications of not being able to wear a bunch of armor and some other downstream effects. Okay. It's a prerequisite for a ton of quests, as you might imagine. So you cut yourself off from huge chunks of the game by choosing to play that way, but you can get through Slayer faster.
Okay.
So here with dragons, it looks like they have just combined. Before, there would be bronze, iron, steel, mithril, adamant, and rune dragons would all be separate tasks that could get rolled, and now they've combined that into one task of metal dragons, and then another task of chromatic dragons, instead of having those chunked out.
Okay. Which means that you can... So the task ends up being metal dragons, which means that you could, like, if you're low level, you could do bronze dragons, but if you're higher level, you could just do rune dragons.
Yeah.
And get there was the more XP.
Yeah, there was a period of time. Like, rune dragons used to be excellent money. Probably 10 years ago now. Wow.
Wow, get old.
After Dragon Slayer 2 came out, whenever that was.
There's a second Dragon Slayer?
Yeah. Probably my favorite quest in the game is Dragon Slayer 2.
Okay.
Dragon Slayer 2 is great. Dragon Slayer 1 is great.
When did DS2 come out?
January 4th, 2018. Okay, so not quite 10 years ago.
Not quite.
Rune dragons, this is just a dumb RuneScape thing that I know you'll feel gross about in a good way here.
Mm-hmm.
So rune dragons were excellent XP per hour, and they're relatively easy to kill. You need to click them to attack, and every once in a while, they'll shoot out a thing that you have to dodge to avoid a bunch of damage, or you just soak the damage and eat through it.
Okay.
But for the amount of GP per hour that these things would drop in primarily rune items, like stuff you're just gonna high elk, they were pretty AFK. For an end game monster, you didn't really have to pay attention.
And you interesting. Could
not really pay attention and make like a couple mil an hour at the time.
Jeez. All right.
Where that was like one of the best moneymakers, period, let alone the degree of attention required to complete it.
Huh.
But you had to beat Dragon Slayer 2 to get access to Rune Dragons, which requires, let's see, 200 quest points. There's only like 350 total or something now, I think.
Sure.
You had to do most of the quests. 75 magic, 70 smithing, 68 mining, 62 crafting, 60 agility, 60 thieving, 50 construction. And then 25 quests, give or take.
30, oh.
25, probably. Prerequisite quests, plus those levels.
So you're in it. Like
you are in it. It is one of the only Grandmaster quests, and it definitely was one of the only ones at the time. There are now 5 Grandmaster quests. At the time Dragon Slayer 2 came out, there was maybe only one. Was it the first? Oh, Monkey Madness 2 came out first. Okay. So it was one of two Grandmaster level quests that existed. when it came out. So okay. Yeah, you are very deep in the game. All of that being said,
what's Grandmaster Quest?
Grandmaster, they split the quests into difficulty tiers.
Okay.
So this is your novice, nightfall. Intermediate, expert, master, grandmaster. It's a relative indication of the prerequisites required to start.
I see. Okay.
And roughly the kind of nonsense you might be doing. Like an end of quest boss in a grandmaster quest is going to be pretty mechanically complicated and relatively tough compared to like an experience quest or an intermediate where you're probably just going to click on the thing and eat sharks until it dies.
Okay. So it's grandmaster is like not just more, it is harder.
Correct.
Okay. But it doesn't like pump up the numbers by tenfold only. There's other stuff going on there. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So all of that being said, at the time, there were people who were making alt accounts specifically to farm rune dragons. Rune dragon alts.
Rune dragon alts? So you would
play on your main account. So like I did not do a lot of alts. You play on your main account, and then you would make another account and beat most of the game a second time. Like quite literally most of RuneScape, you would beat a second time. To then have that character sit at Rune Dragons and just kill Rune Dragons all day while you went and did agility laps on your main account. So you'd pop two windows side by side and you'd be clicking agility obstacles on your main and then clicking Rune Dragons next to it. So you're making 4.5 mil an hour while you're doing agility.
Oh my God.
And if you're a real pervert, you get like two or three of those going.
Yeah, because if they're mostly AFK, you're like clicking on the agility, and then every once in a while, you're clicking on this other window.
Yeah. I mean, they're like mostly AFK by dumb RuneScape standards. AFK in RuneScape parlance is actually a synonym for intensity. It doesn't actually mean away from keyboard the way most people use it.
Yeah.
Including myself. So yeah, I probably like two Rune Dragon alts and someone running agility laps is probably all you could handle. That would require you to click basically constantly, I would think.
But you're not like having to like tick eat, right? Like
you're not tick eating. You're not watching for a bunch of prayer switches or running around too much. No.
Okay. There are a lot of like decisions that have to happen to get to that point.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then, yeah, because that, I don't even know how to estimate how long it would take to, let's just type in Rune Dragon alt OSRS. See if we can find some posts from like 10 years ago on how long it takes to do this. I'm just hoping I can find someone who will say, yeah, it's going to cost you this much GP and this much time to make one.
Under 20 million, maybe?
20 million GP?
Yeah, kind of what I'm
seeing.
As
a setup cost, that seems reasonable.
With good luck, can earn 1.5 million per hour.
That feels right. There's been a fair bit of inflation since then.
And is this still viable? Like, do people still do this, or is there like,
I would that guess inflation no.
like caused it to?
Ooh, okay. To here will be a really it. Good. Here will be a really good thing for us to look at to have an idea of how much things have changed since I've done this last. This is the money making guide on the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where Rune Dragons live. So right now, top of the list is Theater of Blood.
Good name.
Which is the most difficult raid. Right below that is Killing Yama. I don't know what a Yama is. I think Yama was a demon introduced in one of the quests in Corinth. Ah, couldn't remember the name of the continent. Tombs of Amaskit, completing a fortress. Okay, so it's basically all raids and a couple endgame bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Rune Dragons will probably still be on this list. Oh, Vorkath is still 3 to 4 mil.
Killing Rune Dragons. I have found it. 1.5 million hourly profit.
Yeah. So it has stayed roughly the same and not kept up with inflation.
Yeah. Okay. And like some of these are 13 million plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
And if you want to like Kildren Dragons well, then you need like 90s in combat. And maybe you might want to go complete Monkey Madness 2, which was another Grandmaster quest with a whole fat stack of prerequisites, because that gives you slightly better drops from Rune Dragons. Monkey Madness 2 unlocks the ability to make javelins. You get javelin heads that drop from the Rune Dragons, which ups your profit per hour a little bit.
It looks like killing Zolra would do better profit-wise than killing Rune Dragon.
Yeah. Zolra, very much not an AFK situation. Yeah,
fair enough. Okay.
Zolra, very much a dialed-in, fully sort of thing.
I see. We're going to have to talk about the thermonuclear smoke devil at some point.
Okay. Yeah. We can do that.
This guy's got a deal. And also, why one of the most profitable things to do is pickpocketing a buyer.
Blood shards would be why. So you can combine you can get a blood shard from pickpocketing Vire. Vire are this universe's vampires.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And you can combine a blood shard with an amulet of fury to make an amulet of blood fury. And that heals you when you are doing melee combat. You get some healing based on the amount of damage you're doing when it rocks. Which is great. I use it all the time. It is excellent for training in places that take a long time to get to. Because you're getting a bunch of healing without taking up inventory spaces by going that route.
Okay.
Or for like even just some boss fights, depending on the rest of your gear. You heal a fair amount from it. But it degrades over time, degrades with every attack you make, and eventually breaks, and then you need another shard, which is why they maintain a high price. They're probably like, they used to be like 8 or 9 mil, I think, when I was playing last.
I closed the tab, so it's impossible to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Rune Dragons. Pretty decent AFK moneymaker, but, maybe
like
not so 8 years
anymore.
Ago. Yeah.
If you were either a close to max main or you just have extra of those later out.
Yeah. Extra.
Accounts. Yeah. So yeah, you could very easily spend like 250 hours or something training up a secondary account just so you can continue to make money while you're doing other stuff on your main to transfer over to fund training on your main.
I see. Yeah, that's could not be me.
Because there are some skills where just dumping massive amounts of gold into it can speed it up by an insane amount.
But like so much more that you play the game twice?
Potentially. Yeah.
God, that's grim.
If you're gonna sit there anyway, like if you're gonna sit there and run agility laps anyway,
you might as well
which
sit
you
there
are
twice.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I can
stuff's
see how
expensive.
You start to get there.
Yeah. Like, cause gear. I mean, we haven't talked about like how much is. Let's see what is. Let's just go to new items. There's probably something expensive there. My price tracking site.
Of course.
I'm assuming something expensive has come out recently. Yeah, I don't even know what some of these things are.
Is there a striped t-shirt that's going to be really important in the Salian expansion?
There are striped t-shirts that are rewards from doing treasure trails.
Nice. That makes
scrolls.
Sense.
Which was the other thing we were looking at. Okay, so a scythe of Vitur right now. So you're one of your best melee weapons. Or a twisted bow. Twisted bow.
Oh,
we've talked
bow.
About twisted bow. There we go. There's a touch point. So a twisted bow right now, roughly 1.5 billion gold.
Okay.
So if you want one of those and you don't want to play the game long enough that you end up getting a different drop that's worth 1.5 billion, you need to generate a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we looked at that list. 13 mil an hour was peak on that list.
Yeah.
And that is based on, like, those we're looking at raids primarily, which are going to be, you're going to make, I don't know, 500K to maybe a couple mil an hour until you hit a big drop. And then that curve is going to even out at 13
mil. Then it pays out.
Like, you're not, yeah, you're not getting 13 mil every hour. You are getting much lower value, and then you're getting an item worth a billion gold. And when you amortize that over the hours, yeah, then you end up at 13 mil an hour. But if you're looking at consistent money, you're going to be way lower than that. So if your best moneymaker is 4 mil an hour and you want 1.5 billion, that's rough.
Yeah. And then, but what if you could double it?
Yep. See?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
as in favor as it used to be. I don't know if there's a major alting method anymore. And you can use alts to like speed up training in certain places doing things as well.
Like, can you fight so your alt in the wilderness? Does that get you anything?
In dumb situations, very specific circumstances, there are ways to do that and get things out of it. And usually you're going to be abusing a mini game of some kind, like Bounty Hunter. And I'll find a good story to tell of that.
Okay.
Typically, no. Typically, you are either like using the second account as a mule and bringing extra food somewhere, or running back and forth for your other main in a place so they don't have to leave. Or maybe you're drawing aggro with the alt. There are a couple monsters. Demonic gorillas used to have strategies
that were specific.
Demonic gorillas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's part of Monkey Madness too. We'll get
there. Oh, of course.
They use all three attack styles for combat. And they also prey against your attacks. And if you have two people, you can kind of manipulate the way they switch their prayers to deal damage faster.
Okay.
Which you could do with two human beings, but if you're sweaty enough, you can do it by yourself with two accounts.
That seems crazy, but okay.
Yeah. We haven't even like looked at tick manipulation and any of the real gross stuff people do. You only see as gross as I get.
Yeah.
Primarily, which is honestly pretty low on the scale relative to the other end of it.
And I am afraid of that.
Yeah, any point on the scale is kind of a nightmare, but it goes places. Oh yeah, here, Oath Plate Armor. I have no idea what that is. That's new. 220 mil.
Jeez.
So,
hours of the hardest raid.
Yeah. Yep. And now you see why I got into flipping. Because you can place orders in the Grand Exchange, and then I can go for a walk outside and like talk to my wife and then come back and have made money while I did that.
You're telling me that you found a way to make passive income in RuneScape?
Sure did.
That's great. Glad it's working out for someone.
I mean, at least this market is mostly rational, so.
Mostly.
It's why I do my trading here.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, fair enough.
You get to see all the numbers up front, and typically everyone interprets them the same way, so.
Ugh. All right. Last thing on this list for the summer sweep-up Slayer and Miscellaneous. Yep. Herbs. Now,
herbs.
Is herbs at the bottom of this list? Sorry, herbs is in the middle of the list. We're going to ignore some of the things under heading other changes.
Golem Bane weapons.
Would you rather talk about Golem Bane weapons than herbs? Oh, and
the rune pouch is going into the mage training arena finally. That's good.
Okay, of course.
Herbs. Yeah. What are we doing with herbs here?
I'm just curious why herbs are in the block list, early game point changes, unlock point cost, dragon task changes section, and then not in other, because herbs seems like a place to put other.
So the changes to herbs are specifically revolving around Slayer monster drop tables and their interaction with the herb sack. That is why it is there.
I see.
So the Slayer, I don't think I said this explicitly. There are monsters that are exclusive to Slayer, and you have to have a minimum Slayer level to kill that monster.
I see. Okay.
That is another aspect of Slayer. And a lot of those monsters that are specific to the Slayer's skill and have a minimum Slayer level required, a lot of them drop herbs, which are used to make potions.
Yep.
And then the secondary ingredients that are also required for potions.
Right. That'd be like your claws and your blade roots. And...
yeah, your eyes of Newt and whatnot.
Sure.
So in that way, Slayer's is somewhat tied to herb lore as a skill, especially if you're doing a more Iron Man style gameplay or just an Iron Man. You'll end up doing a lot of Slayer and banking all of those items to then eventually train herb lore with it.
I see. Okay.
You're either getting those herbs from growing them yourself or from killing primarily Slayer monsters. So that brings us to the herb sack. Herbs, when they're dropped by a monster, are grimy. And you have to click on them to clean them off.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of herb lore XP from this, but it's primarily a holdover from herb lore's old design. And when herb lore first launched, instead of getting a grimy Raynar weed and cleaning it into just a Raynar weed, you would get an unidentified herb. And then you would click on it, and if you had a high enough herb lore level, you would be able to switch it from an unidentified herb into a Raynar weed.
Okay.
Which made trading these things really complicated when they were all unidentified.
Because
you could get a... yeah.
It was an item. Like, you knew what it was, but you couldn't... But you didn't know what it was.
Not,
the game knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, or you could click on it, and I think it would say, like, oh, you need herb lore level 76 to identify this. And then you could go to the guide and say, okay, what do I unlock at 76? Oh, I don't remember now. But, yeah. That was the idea before. So now there are grimy and clean, and you need to clean the herbs before you can use them in a potion.
Okay, makes sense.
So... if you are in a Slayer dungeon that took like 6 minutes to walk to, and a thing drops 4 herbs when you kill it, and a third of your inventory is food, and you can only hold 28 things, and you're down there to kill 150 of those pricks because of the Slayer task. If you want to keep all of those herbs, you're walking back and forth all damn day.
Yeah.
And that's a real bummer. So then they made this herb sack, which will hold, what, I think 15 of each, I want to say?
Okay.
In one inventory slot. So it's just a sack. It takes up one slot in your inventory, and you can shove dirty, uncleaned herbs into the sack.
Okay. So you can't clean them at this point.
You cannot put clean herbs into a sack.
Bastards.
And that is because if you could do that, you would be able to make potions in places that they don't want you making potions. Some potions heal you. So there's a chance you'd be able to use like the herb sack and go fight a monster that drops the secondary potion ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd end up being able to make potions in a dungeon where they don't want you doing that.
I see. Okay.
So that's why you can only put in
the dirty ones.
The dirty ones. Yeah. So what this change is, where is this tab? Here. So now they're saying they're gonna change some of the drops on some of these Slayer monsters, because there was a trend for a period of time of dropping noted items from monsters. I suppose this still is, but they're a little more conscious about it now. So instead of dropping three grimy Raynar herbs that are just three herbs on the ground, it might drop those in noted form. And notes stack. So now all of your grimy herbs that are notes take up one inventory slot.
And that's like literally a piece of paper note.
A piece of paper. Yep. And you can go to a bank and swap that out for the actual item.
Okay.
But it lets you stack up items that normally you couldn't stack. So
yep.
Five Raynar would normally take up five inventory slots. Five Raynar notes takes up one inventory slot.
Yep.
So by dropping things in noted form, that was kind of undercutting the existence of the herb sack.
Yeah.
That's kind of doing the herb sack for you.
Yeah, but probably better, right? Because
The
noted version can go higher than 15.
Correct. And you also don't need to have gotten the herb sack.
Which the is herb a sack, Slayer reward?
Slayer or... it was also added into a farming minigame, but that was much, much later.
Okay, but specifically not in herb lore.
Correct.
That, okay.
750 Slayer points for an herb sack.
Okay.
Remember, filling out the entire block list was, what, 700?
700, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of gives you a bit of a relative value there.
Yeah, okay. So
spending 750 points on this thing, and then a couple new monsters come out that only drop noted herbs, and suddenly it's fucking useless.
Right.
You're not bringing it anywhere anymore, because why bother? So now they're switching some drop tables to increase the utility of the herb sack
in
mid-game.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this list, and...
this is why these patch notes are so detailed and important. Because all of this shit is interconnected across 30 years of game history.
Yeah, it's crazy that herb drop tables have anything to do with the Slayer quest in general. But yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, and we haven't... We'll do an episode on Konar eventually, and the Brimstone Chest. So the trade-off for Konar demanding that you kill a thing in a specific location is it adds a key to that creature's drop table that unlocks a chest which is behind Konar, and that thing shits out supplies.
I see.
And we will do an episode at some point on when that got introduced, because they fucked it. They fucked it real good. They broke the economy for a while, forever with that, honestly. That'll be an episode. How Konar broke the OSRS economy. In the short term and in the long term.
Possibly
from a design standpoint.
Term.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it definitely did. It was a design philosophy shift that they have. That and Zora were the two that kind of killed skilling as a moneymaker.
The money snake killed skilling?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a money snake.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Well, asked and answered, I guess.
Yep.
The last thing on the herbs table that I would like to draw your attention to is mostly for my own edification and just to share with the audience. There's a beastie here. There's a lot of normal stuff on here. It's like, yes, lizard man shamans.
One I don't know. You're going to ask me about the one I don't know.
Is it Lobstrosities?
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I looked it up, and it is just... number one, several hits, including, I guess, a lobster.
Oh, these are underwater fossil island. Okay.
Okay.
I do know what these are.
There's a lot of hits for the Dark Tower. I guess Stephen King has some feelings about lobstrosities.
The creature of the same name appears in the second book, The Drawing of the Three, according to the trivia section.
All right. This is just it's a blue lobster that has a cute little mushroom on its head. Looks like a nice hat.
Yeah, so they're underwater in Fossil Island, which Fossil Island is one of my favorite areas in the game. But there's a number of training methods that exist exclusively underwater, where you put on this like rudimentary diving bell suit kind of thing.
Fun.
And you can do drift net fishing underwater. There's a thieving method of some kind, I believe. And I guess you can fight these giant lobsters.
I love this guy. Released 7th of September, 2017.
This guy's cute as hell. Can only be attacked using a Trident of the Seas, Trident of the Swamp, a Merfolk Trident, a Dragon Harpoon, Magic Secateurs, or a Brine Saber.
Wait, is it Magic Secateurs? Yeah, okay.
Those are used for farming primarily.
Yeah,
they increase your harvest if they're equipped when you're harvesting a patch, and they're a quest reward from Fairy Tale Part 1. Amy?
Yep. Fairy Tale 1, Growing Pains.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
The necromancer that you get them from?
Is it Malignus?
Yeah, sure is.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Welcome to my brain.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, Lobstrosities. Check out the show art this week, because this little guy's going to be on it. He's great.
Not even a Slayer monster.
No, nope, sure isn't. This guy and Guthan are my two sons. So
I wonder if Guthan could maybe ride a Lobstrosity into battle. That seems.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That seems like a Photoshop that could be done.
I mean, he is Guthan the Infested, and I feel like he has a lot to share with a Lobstrosity who seems to be also infested by this fungus thing on his noggin.
You should scroll through the Slayer monsters at some point, because there's some real weirdos in there too.
Some like good ones
the Bloodveld.
Okay.
And it's multiple variants. A Turoth. Those are goofy looking fellows. They have some like clay fighter vibes.
Real good names. Oh yeah, Bloodveld. Look at this guy. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
The preview image did not have the face in there.
Mm. Yeah, it's got if you can call it that.
It's just a hole with a tongue. That sucks.
Sure is.
Blah. Turoth, what's up with you? That's a three-legged guy with some teeth as a head?
Yeah, something like that.
That sucks. Wow, what happened? How did they make these? Seems bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, something didn't go great for at least that thing.
No.
Warped Terror Bird. That's another.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
Dark Beast.
The worms are really cool. Like when they do some. They have a really nice animation set when you're fighting them. Oh, and the Shadow Worm looks dope as hell. That was the variant that they added for Superior. That's what I'm looking for. Superior variant.
Oh, yeah. This guy looks neat. Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you click the attacking sprite as well. So they pop up on their tail. And they're always doing this kind of like snake movement on the ground.
Yeah, this is great.
Pop up on their tails and blast you. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, that's your chat about the summer sweep up patch notes for Slayer and Miscellaneous.
Yeah.
That is very informative, though. I feel like I did not understand most.
We covered
of,
a lot of ground.
Yeah. We got a good handle on what Slayer is, at least, and why
we
I
did a whole Slayer episode
blogs.
Without me researching a Slayer episode. So
yeah, that seems great. Yeah. And we got plenty of other things to talk about coming out of that, like thermonuclear smoke devil.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well,
I'm still haven't looked at the stackable clue article. We should maybe record that because I will have strong opinions.
Yes.
I don't know how it works yet. And I'm, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. This one has a lot more screenshots in it. And there's also a survey that is attached to it, which really feels like we're going for it here. And maybe some of you are going to hate it.
Me. I'm in that camp, probably. Yeah, almost certainly.
You're the hater. It's you.
Stackable clues have been contentious for over a decade at this point.
What a hilarious
basically forever
to say.
Since whenever clue scrolls were added as a diversion to RS2, honestly. I feel like we've been fighting about this since their inception.
Amazing.
2004.
Is clues?
Is when they first launched. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
For 20 years, people have been 20
years
about if you can stack them on.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yes.
It seems like you've lost out.
Probably.
Guess we'll find out.
I have to some degree. We're going to find out how mad I am whenever we get to that.
Stay
It'll
tuned.
It'll be a tiny amount or maybe a whole lot. Probably not, but maybe.
But possible. Possible is a whole lot. Ugh. I just remembered that there is a whole game I was going to talk about that comes out on Friday, but it doesn't matter.
We didn't do that, did we?
That's fine. Well, it's fine. I have a thing written up for it anyways. So, go to the website, check that out.
That'll be live by the time this comes out.
Yeah. Probably. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll hit the date on that. I'm doing a review for a game called Dead Take. And it is a horror escape room game. And I have some thoughts.
I bet you do. That is not a thing I feel like you would normally play.
It really isn't. It stars Mr. Ben Starr and someone else, and I can't remember their name right now. But it is an interesting game. I think my incredibly broad thoughts that I will touch on in the review is that calling it an escape room kind of ruined it for me.
Interesting. Okay.
And not in a I don't like escape room kind of way, but in a you're supposed to be playing a character in a murder dungeon game, and the house has a bunch of mysterious passageways in it, and all I can ever think about is what poor escape room attendant had to sneak this weird spooky prop into the stage while you were watching the cutscene. It's like really it's turned this spooky game into a farce.
you've created your own headcanon here that has undermined the horror element.
I sure did. There's like a moment in the game where you like go watch a cutscene and then you come back to a room you had just come from, and there is like all the lights are off and there's just a spotlight shining down on a crib that is playing a spooky lullaby song, and there's just like blood all over it, and it's supposed to be this like shocking, terrifying moment, and all I can think about is who put this here? How did this get here?
How'd that even fit through the door?
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like they should not have called it an escape room. That makes me think of a thing that is just a puzzle room to be solved for fun, because that's what I'm doing, having fun solving puzzles. But
in
it's not spooky.
Mansion.
Yeah, in a murder mansion specifically. But I'll have a review of that out when this goes live, probably. I assume that it will be the same time. But we did it.
We did it.
That's Summer Sweep Up Slayer and Miscellaneous. Go to the website, do all that stuff. Well, like and review, and stay tuned for what comes next when we talk about stackable clues.
I'm preemptively furious.
Good. That'll make for good podcasting. Thank you so much for listening. Go to the website if you would like. I will have a South of Midnight video out, hopefully, called Kindness and Violence. It is the longest YouTube video yet, and it's a hit piece on South of Midnight and how I think the combat is terrible and you should turn it off. But respectfully, I think that's it. Logan, you got anything going on?
That Night Rain update this week might fix some of the things that I'm the most mad about, but also but we'll see. Not. So yeah, we'll see if they can figure out how to filter their own relics.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the temperature here. High hopes?
No. I mean, this is looks like it should be an easy lift. I guess I don't know what that thing looks like under the hood, but they clearly already had relics tagged and some kind of a query language associated with it to begin with. So this should only be adding a couple of filters to that, I would think. But maybe there's some spaghetti nonsense underneath that made it way harder. I don't know.
Probably we'll spaghetti nonsense.
Find out.
Yep.
I sure hope I can click a button and look at all of the relics that make my weapon a fire weapon. That's what I want. If they accomplish that, I will be happy. If they don't, then I will be more confused than I was the first time I realized you couldn't do that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right. Well, thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.